Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy hump day to everybody out there. We're really excited because we get to talk to a guy we had on last season, all throughout the college football season, Phil Steele. The Phil Steele Preview Magazine is out. It is coming out. Everybody gets jacked for it. It is the yearly tradition on Dirt and Sprague that we talk about it. So we thought it'd be fun to bring him on. How you doing, Phil?
You know, I am doing great. It's good to hear your guys' voices again, and really enjoyed doing the show with you last year.
Oh, we had a great time as well, man. Let's just dive into it. Let's get to as much football as we possibly can here in these next two segments. I want to start with Oregon. We are now the home of the Ducks. That happened for us. That was a big move for us. We're really excited for the coming football season and what they could potentially do. So when you look at Oregon, what stands out to you about the possibilities of what their season could be?
You know, I'm pretty excited about it. And I'll tell you this. For the bowl game, I picked Oregon to beat Boise State. So I was a little mad, let's say, at the way Oregon played in that game, getting totally dominated. So when I talked to Coach Cristobal this year, I opened it up with, hey, Coach, I got a bone to pick with you. Brought that game up. He sort of gave me some reasoning for it, but when we went over the team this year, I like what I see. I see a bigger defensive line, guys like Jalen Jokes up front, Jordan Scott. They look pretty good there. Troy Dye is one of the best linebackers in the entire country. Secondary looks pretty solid. I think Oregon's going to have pretty good defense coming into the year. And then offensively, remember last year when that guy Justin Herbert was healthy and being the quarterback on the team, they averaged 52 points per game. Without him, just 15 points. So Herbert's back. Wrap some bubble wrap around him during this August and make sure he stays healthy for the season. But I think you look at a guy like Dylan Mitchell, a receiver, I think is going to have a big year. The offensive line should be one of the better units in the country. And then what I really like, and going through the thing after the magazines come out, is the schedule. I mean, they host Washington and host Stanford. Those are the two main contenders in the Pac-12 North. Take care of business at home, and the Ducks could be that surprise team in the Pac-12 North. So definitely bullish on Oregon this year, and I think they're going to have a much better year than most folks expect.
You know, I just in looking, kind of glancing through some of your predictions, I believe you had them finishing third in the Pac-12 North. So I'm curious what it is about them that scares you a little bit, at least to the point of thinking they can't overcome Stanford or Washington.
Well, not only that, but I mean, they do play Cal on the road. They do play Utah on the road. They do play Arizona on the road. So there are some tough road games out there. I don't think we're going to see necessarily, I mean, even if Oregon was to pull those two upsets, I don't know if they'd be able to run the table this year. So it just came down to a schedule. And Washington, to me, is loaded. I'll believe that Oregon beats Washington when I see it this year, because Washington does have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. So I do favor Washington in that game. I'm just saying I like the fact that Oregon's off a bye at home when they play Washington, which is a nice situation to be in, and you never know. And like I said, with Herbert putting up 52 points per game, could be pretty exciting.
Yeah, this is Phil Steele, Phil Steele's Preview, College Football Magazine, the number one preview magazine you're going to find out there, ESPN's very own, and philsteele.com. He's on Twitter at philsteele042. Let's move on to those Huskies. Everybody seems to think that this conference is theirs this year. A lot of quarterback influx for some programs out there, some rebuilding, some new coaches, a lot of things kind of working in the Huskies' favor this coming season with the talent they're bringing back and still having Chris Peterson there and establishing a culture. So you look at the Huskies, they start off their season against Auburn. And I think a lot of us out there, even the ones that don't like it, we're curious what they can do and how they can match up against the Auburn football team. What do you think of that matchup? And then if they can win that, is this a team that has the talent to run the table and go undefeated?
Yeah, all you have to do is take a glance at my national cover. I've got the Washington Huskies on it, which means I think they make the playoffs this year. I can tell you in Vegas right now, they're a 3-point underdog to Auburn. I can tell you in my mind, I've got them a 3-point favorite. I think they're the better team. You know, you look at a guy like Jake Browning, and let's face it, Jake Browning did not have the type of year that was expected last year. 2016, Jake Browning was outstanding. He had 43 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions. Last year, mediocre. 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I think Jake Browning's going to have a better year. In fact, here's an interesting source. I was talking every year I talk to Coach Shaw of Stanford. We go over numerous topics besides just his team. And he was talking about guys that really impressed him. And he said Jake Browning is a guy that really impresses him. He thinks he's going to have a much better year this year. And I buy into that philosophy as well. They've got Miles Gaskins, a running back, got a couple capable receivers. And then you look at the defense that Washington has. Yes, Vita Vea is gone, but overall the bulk of that defense is back, and they're going to be extremely good there. I do think they get past Auburn in the opener, and then I have them favored in all 12 of their games this year.
Wow.
So I think things are on the rise and looking good for Washington this season. Now, keep in mind, 2 years ago I called for them to make the playoffs. They came back with a very experienced team last year. I didn't have them making the playoffs last year, but I do this year again.
Hmm. That's interesting. When you look at just the landscape of college football, kind of a broader question for you. A lot of people are down on the Pac-12 right now because of the bowl season they had last year and not making the playoff last year. You know, revenues and that kind of stuff. There's a decent gap between them and other Power 5 conferences. If Washington is able to beat Auburn and make the college football playoff this year, do you think a lot of that narrative goes away of the Pac-12 being the weak link of the Power 5?
Yeah, I tell you what, guys, everything is cyclical and everything changes on almost a week-to-week basis in college football. So, you know, right now the Big Ten is God, the Pac-12 is horrible because how they did in the bowl games, but that can turn around very quickly. So I'm going to say exactly what you just said, and the answer is yes. Washington beats Auburn. I see a lot better non-conference wins for the Pac-12 this year, a lot better bowl season, and I think all this talk about the Pac-12 being the weakest of the Power 5 conferences will sort of wash away into the waves, and all of a sudden, next year, somebody else will be getting picked on the head of poor bowl season.
Yeah, this is college football guru Phil Steele is joining us. I have no idea what to expect from Stanford. I mean, that kind of sounds dumb when I say it out loud because Stanford has established themselves as so consistent within this conference. Bryce Love deciding to come back and not jump to the NFL was obviously a big decision for them. And I know David Shaw is a hell of a football coach, but I don't know what to expect from him. And I think a lot of this pinpoints for me some question marks on defense, and then I don't know what to expect from their quarterback play. How do you feel about the Cardinal?
You know, I think KJ Costello is going to do pretty good. When he was getting in the sink last year, then he got injured a little bit, wasn't 100%. But Costello, Coach Shaw called him an NFL guy, so he can really throw the football. He's got a quick release. He's got a gunslinger mentality. Now, let's face it, if you're David Shaw, you are not going to hand the ball to Costello and say throw for 4,000 yards. You got some guy in the backfield, number 20, that you can hand the ball off to and get 2,000 yards. And Bryce Love in the second half of last year was getting those 150, 200-yard games, basically playing on one leg. Can you imagine what he does when he's fully healthy for the year? So I really like the backfield combination of Costello and Love. You look at the receiving core, Trenton Irwin is a guy who's 6'2", 205. This Stanford receiving core is so tall, they create mismatches. And then you've got your usual Stanford tight ends out there as well. The offensive line is going to be dynamic. In fact, Coach Shaw is lobbying a little bit to say he may have a Joe Moore contender on the offensive line with this unit. They're my number 4-rated offensive line in the country. And defensively, I think the whole thing that holds together Stanford almost every year is the linebacking core. And their linebacking core is loaded with Okereke, Barton, Alaferi, Perez, Reed. They are loaded at the linebacker core. So with that being the strength of the defense, with the shutdown corner like Elijah Holder, I think they're going to be pretty good there. What I don't like about Stanford necessarily is the schedule. I mean, they do draw USC coming out of the South. They have to play Oregon on the road. They have to play Notre Dame on the road. They have to play Washington on the road. So those are three games where they could very well be a dog. In fact, right now they are a dog to the Ducks in Vegas, a 3-point underdog. So the schedule's what hurts me the most. And the defensive line for Stanford, when I was talking to Coach Saw, he seems to think that they're going to be working some freshmen in there. Might be a little bit of a slow start for the D-line, but at the end of the year, you're going to see a player like Dalen Wade-Perry just really emerge. He's 6'4", 324 inside. He'll be a force at the end of the season, maybe not so right at the start.
Hmm. You know, of all the teams that could suffer a brutal start to the season, maybe Oregon State isn't the one that's most prepared for a road game at Ohio State. But after that, and you look at Jonathan Smith in his first year, kind of what are you expecting out of Oregon State? What were your thoughts on the Jonathan Smith hire? And then what would be a good goal to have in mind for that program in year one under a new coaching staff?
Yeah, talking to Coach Smith, I said I opened that one up with, you know, last year you were at Washington, now you're at Oregon State, pretty much the same talent, right? And it's not quite so. And the thing that concerns me most about Oregon State this year is probably the depth. I think when you look at the starting lineup, you could make a decent starting lineup, but let's face it, this is college football, and you've got to have good depth behind you, and this team is lacking in the depth. I think this looks like a rebuilding year for Coach Smith. I see a couple of players that could emerge, maybe like a free safety, David Morris, and linebacker, watch Key Wetzel, should be a pretty good one. But overall, the depth is not that good, and I think it's going to take a year or two to really get this team. And what a change it is for Oregon State, because remember last year coming into the season with Ryan Nall, a running back, coming off a 4-8 year, mm-hmm. I think most Beaver fans expected a bowl game last year. And then to finish 1-11 like they did was not what they liked. There's been numerous players that did indeed leave the team during the offseason. That happens during coaches' changes. And this is sort of a depth-shy team this year. So I'm not exactly going out on a limb here, picking them sixth in the Pac-12 North. I think they'll pretty much be the pick for there. They might pull an upset or two during the season, but...
Well, Phil, we still want to get to Washington State, and I'm actually, as much as we are interested in the Pac-12 North up here, I am as equally interested in how the South is going to play out for a variety of reasons. So we're going to get to Washington State. We'll get to the Pac-12 South. Can you hang around?
You sure? You got it.
All right, here we go. More stuff with Phil Steele coming up. Dirt and Sprague. We'll be back with more on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. We've got Phil Steele on the line, College Football Preview Magazine, ESPN, and philsteele.com. You can find him on Twitter at philsteele042. The college football guru joins us. The magazine, we are awaiting our copies in the mail. We're excited. We can't wait, and college football is just around the corner. All right, we talked a lot about the Pac-12 North. We did not mention Washington State. They're going to lose Luke Falk this year, and they lost some pretty key coaches on their staff. People are wondering, what is Mike Leach going to be able to do this year? What is a reasonable expectation in Phil Steele's mind for Mike Leach in Pullman?
You know, I think to flirt with a bowl. So in my mind, with only 10 returning starters coming back this year, 25 Letterman lost. You talked about the change of defensive coordinator that they're going through. This is, and a quarterback especially. But the one good thing that they have going for him at the quarterback spot is if you follow Mike Leach's career, it really doesn't matter who he plugs in there. He's going to throw for close to 4,000 yards on the season and have a good year. And I think they've got some talent to work with there. It's just they don't have Luke Falk at the quarterback position. But overall, this is a less experienced team than it was heading into last year. I don't think you're going to see a Washington State team that rises as high as number 8 in the polls like they did last year when they traveled to California. But I do not put a bowl out of the possibility. I think there's a good possibility for a bowl for Washington State. But in my mind, that is about the high level. I don't see them in the upper half of the Pac-12 North this year.
Hmm. Yeah, Pac-12 South is a fascinating division to follow. You get the new coaches of Herm Edwards, Kevin Sumlin, Chip Kelly, obviously USC being the program that they are. When you look at that division, USC always seems to be the most talented team of the bunch, but how do you see kind of the power ranking shaking out in the South, and who's your early favorite down there?
Yeah, in the South, I think, is wide open. USC is my favorite. I did pick them to win the South. I think they will develop a good quarterback, whether it's Matt Fink, JT Daniels, or Jack Sears. They got three guys that a lot of teams would fight over to get there. Good running back, and a really good running back in Stephen Carr. Dangerous receiving core. The offensive line should be outstanding. In fact, when I talked to Coach Elton, he said it may be the best offensive line he's had in 10 years. Now, that's really making a statement there. Cam Smith turned down the NFL. Porter Gustin turned down the NFL. Iman Marshall turned down the NFL. They've got players coming back on defense. They avoid playing Washington and Oregon out of the North. So I think talent and schedule-wise, USC's my favorite. But keep your eyes on Utah. You know, Utah last year had a switch in offense. They went to the new offense. Tyler Huntley came in, did wonders at the start, got banged up. Took him a week or two after the injury to get back up to speed again, but he's back. Should have a big year. I really like Zach Moss at running back. You know, last year he rushed for 1,000 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. The light switch came on mid-last year, and it showed at the end of the year. I think you're going to see big things out of him. Veteran offensive line. They got four starters back, some big boys up front. Defensively, keep your eyes on Chase Hansen. He moves from safety to rover. I think he's going to have a big-time impact on that defense, and they bring in some good JUCO recruits as well. So I think Utah's they probably play the toughest schedule of the South teams. They draw Oregon. They draw Washington. They draw Stanford, all out of the North. And they play some tough road games, like at USC this year. But or they get USC at home, which gives them a shot at winning the South. Mm-hmm. Arizona, when I talked to Coach Sumlin this year, he likes what he got in Khalil Tate. But this is the offensive line's a little bit on the rebuilt side. Well, remember last year, it seemed like once folks got film on Khalil Tate, he wasn't as effective. You look at the last three games for Arizona, they didn't put up the points they were producing in his first four or five starts. We'll see how that works out this year. But the defense is bigger up front. Nine starters back on D. They haven't had a great defense recently. This will be a better one, and I think they're in the mix. When you got a guy like Khalil Tate on your team, you have a chance. And don't ever discount wonders at San Jose State. A couple years ago, I don't think anybody picked them to win the Pac-12 South yet. There they were in the Pac-12 title game at 10-4. He's only got 10 returning starters coming back this year, but I like Steven Montez. He's 6'5", 230. He's now got experience. The receiving core is solid. They even redshirted a key wide receiver last year to bring him back for this year. The offensive line looks really good, and defensively they look pretty sharp. So I think Colorado is going to be a player in the Pac-12 South. And with Arizona State and UCLA, I think it might be a little bit of a rebuilding season for both those teams. I don't put them in quite the same mixed category, but a wide-open Pac-12 South.
You know, it's interesting, Phil. This is Phil Steele, by the way, College Football Preview Magazine, ESPN, college football guru. He's joining us now. You know, it's interesting. You bring up Utah, and we have to fully admit we've talked a lot about this Pac-12 conference this coming year. I don't think our show or very many other shows have mentioned Utah. When you talk about the South, it's, well, Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin are together now. That's a dangerous combination, potentially. We know USC health question is so large, and Clay Helton, I still think, is kind of the jury's out on him for some people. Utah is just not one of those teams brought up. I thought it was interesting you brought them up. But I want to ask you about Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, you mentioned you think this year's a little bit of a rebuild down year. Do you think that Chip Kelly can still have the impact in this conference that he did when he was in Eugene? Or do you think college football has just evolved so much that what he did is not as special?
I would have to go with the latter. I don't know if he's going to have the same impact here. And you mentioned college football. I'll mention it on two levels. First of all, when he brought the spread offense to Oregon, they were one of the few teams in the country to run the spread and the fast-paced offense like he was doing. Now pretty much everybody runs the spread and the fast-paced offense. Plus, when he went to Oregon the first time, Oregon's facilities just blew everybody away in the country. I mean, they had the Nike money coming in. They had all these great facilities. But now almost everybody's got great facilities. So a lot of schools have brought that up as well. So the big edges that he had, the newness of the offense, the huge advantage in the facilities, I don't think are really there for him anymore. And that's going to hurt him a little bit. And this year, you know, you look at first-year coaches coming in. Scott Frost got a lot of pub at Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They have a tough schedule. I think if they get to a bowl, they're in good shape. Look at last year. Tom Herman went to Texas. Hey, things are going to be great. You watch that opening game, fans are pumped. They lose to Maryland. They went 6-6, barely got to a bowl. A new coach has to learn the personnel, learn their strengths and weaknesses. The players have to learn new schemes. Generally, it's a learning year, the first year of a new head coach. And I think that's what Chip Kelly goes through this year.
Looking around the country now, getting away from the Pac-12 a little bit, I always enjoy hearing about sleepers and teams that, you know, aren't on our radar, but they're on your radar that could have a potentially big season. What kind of programs out there are you looking at of just wondering why people aren't paying more attention to them that have a chance, maybe an outside chance at making a run at a college football playoff?
Yeah, remember 2 years ago, my number one surprise team in the magazine, a non-top 10 team that I thought could make the playoffs, was the Washington Huskies, and they made the playoffs. Well, this year I got a couple of teams I'll throw out to you. One of them is Notre Dame, and the Irish last year were coming off a four-win season. They were my number one most improved team in the country. Now, they made quite a run. At one point, they were number three in the country after knocking off Wake Forest. They were favored on the road against Miami of Florida. And then they lost two games. They lost Miami of Florida and Stanford and finished 10-3. They won't be in the preseason top 10 this year, but Winbush is back at the quarterback position. The defense looks outstanding. They've got nine starters back on that side of the ball. Despite losing two key players off the offensive line, that unit still looks solid. And when I look at the schedule, it's not easy. They play a lot of tough teams, but they get Michigan at home. They get Stanford at home. Virginia Tech is not last year's Virginia Tech. They're in a little bit of a rebuilding year. They have to play Northwestern on the road, but Northwestern's got question marks at quarterback, and that's a winnable game, and they'll have a good portion of the crowd in that one as well. And then they play USC on the road, And once again, USC has a few question marks coming in the year. I can make a case for Notre Dame running the table, and that's why I think they're my number one surprise team in the country. Nobody's talking about them in the playoffs. Everybody's talking about which conference. Notre Dame could finally be that team that gets up there and makes the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And the other one is Texas. I touched on how excited Texas fans were for Tom Herman last year when he came in. And then it turned out to be 6-6 and just barely make a bowl game. But if you follow along my ESPN power ratings each week, my Vegas power ratings that I put up on ESPN Insider, Texas was pretty much in the top 25 all year and deserved to be there. They played a lot better than the final record would indicate. They were basically three plays away from being a 10-3 team. And if you look at the Big 12 this year, you know, Oklahoma doesn't have Baker Mayfield. There's TCU lost a bunch of players, especially on the offensive line. There is no dominant team in the Big 12. Texas could fill that void. They've got the defense. They've got two quarterbacks in Erlinger and Bouchel. And when I talked to Coach Herman this spring, he was more than livid about the poor performance of the offensive line and the running backs last year and the lack of a run game. That will get corrected, I guarantee you. There's no doubt there's emphasis there. They have the pieces. They'll have a much better run game. And with a better run game comes a better offense to coincide with a very good defense in a winnable Big 12. Keep your eyes on Texas as a potential team, despite the fact they had six losses last year.
Yeah. All right, Phil, I know you're against it time-wise. As quickly as you can, I want to get out on this one. A lot of pressure and conversations have been mentioned with Jim Harbaugh. He's won games, but he hasn't beat Ohio State, and he hasn't won a Big Ten or been in the playoff. Is this the year he breaks through?
Well, he doesn't have the schedule to do it. They have to play Notre Dame, Northwestern, Michigan State, and Ohio State on the road. But he does have some talent. Remember last year they only had five returning starters. This year they've got 17. They've got my number three defense. And then they bring Shea Patterson, the missing link to the offense, a quarterback. It'll be interesting. I think it might just come down to that game in Columbus. And remember 2 years ago? That thing went to overtime, yep. And Michigan fans will tell you they won that game because they feel Ohio State was stopped on fourth down.
Yep.
So it came very close to beating them the last time they went to Columbus.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, no doubt. Hey, good stuff, PhilSteele.com. Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine is going to hit stores very, very soon. It's one of our favorites. He's the college football guru, and he's kind enough to join us for two segments to talk Pac-12 and college football. Thanks so much, Phil, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds great, guys. Always a lot of fun talking football with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.